grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, as I've shared during the announcements that, you know, my thoughts and my focus this past week has been looking at this calendar. To me, it's not insignificant that at the 40 days to the mark, which was Thursday, Jesus ascended back to the right hand of the Father. And for we to be able to live and to experience and walk that for ourselves, we do that with the resurrection, we do that with Easter, but it wasn't finished. There was still more of the gospel being lived out by Jesus and how it impacts us. I want to share the verses in Acts 1 just prior to what was read this morning, you know, as part of what has taken place. So verse 6, so when they had come together, this is talking about the disciples, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They still haven't grasped how it's going to unfold. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heaven, as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. Of course, we know that those were messengers. They were angels. And they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way you saw him go into heaven. I love this passage. And we should as a church, because every Sunday our focal point is on the very action of Jesus ascending to heaven. And the last verses of Luke, which was also written by, you know, Acts and Luke were written by the same author. It talks about, as he was blessing his disciples, he's actively blessing the disciples. As we gather to worship, he wants to bless his disciples. And for this time frame, a time of waiting for the outpouring of the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? To be my witnesses with the power when you receive the Holy Spirit. Now think about this. This was Jesus' ultimate final statement before he returned to heaven. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. That hasn't changed. But it was his last words. It's the final statement on earth before his foot left the earth. And it's the key to actually the book of Acts and our Acts. What a dramatic picture that he describes. That when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. You know, it's believed that that cloud was what was, that has appeared throughout the scripture, the Shekinah glory, the very essence, the very presence of God. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, it was covered by the cloud. It was the Shekinah glory. It was God fully covering the mount. There was a pillar of cloud that guided the Israelites and gave them a covering over the Judean wilderness. Shekinah glory. God was with them. When the tabernacle was dedicated and when God spoke, it was the Shekinah glory that filled the tabernacle. When the temple was built, the Shekinah glory, the presence of God, filled the temple. The cloud that Ezekiel saw depart over the gate of the east gate, which is the golden gate, the Shekinah glory. When Jesus stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a cloud that came, you know, that caused the removal of seeing Jesus with Moses and Elijah. The Shekinah glory, the presence of God, for us to pause at what happened on that ascension day. is a major thing. You know, just imagine what the apostles were experiencing when from this cloud they see Jesus lifted up. I mean, my heart would be pounding. I mean, talk about their eyes are, wow. And I would have been one of them. I would have been staring. The ascended Christ was the confidence that propelled the disciples forward. It began the burn in their hearts. Now, having ascended, what's he doing? He's interceding for the church, as he promised that he would send out the Holy Spirit, another comforter. It would be that as Christ in each one, being empowered to be his witnesses. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him going to heaven." Jesus is coming again. He's returning, and we are to be about his business, his witnesses. Our hearts to be burning with that commitment that was given to the disciples, witness. And Jesus had promised when he went away, before he went away, he promised that he would send a helper to his people. And God sovereignly would send the power of the Holy Spirit to empower, to comfort, to be present. Now, we don't know exactly why and how the Holy Spirit works, but we can enjoy the fullness of the Spirit. All I do is listen to the meteorologists about what's going to happen to the wind in Oklahoma. I don't get it. I don't understand it. Well, they're saying, well, this is going to be moving this way. That this front is coming this way. There was a little boy that asked his grandfather, and his grandfather was a fisherman was an actual fisherman years ago and using sails for fishing. "Grandpa, what is the wind?" "Well, I can't explain the wind to you, but I can teach you to raise the sails." I could have used that years ago when I was on Lake Huron. I was in a little sunfish sailboat. The wind kept moving me further away. There was an eighth grader who was making circles around me. He says, "Pastor, why don't you come back to the shore?" Chris, I've been trying ever since I left. And as the people are getting smaller, I'm waving. And only by God's grace did I actually get back to dry land. But there is a way to teach in terms of the sails. I'm amazed at the skill that God has given birds. That without effort, how they're able to glide and anticipate and just remain, just kind of floating up there in the currents of the wind. Years ago, there was a popular addition to weddings. And I think it's no longer allowed, but it was a case. It was a bride really loved it. Was releasing butterflies as instead of releasing, you know, throwing rice or, you know, all of the other things that are flowers or. And so it was a special order. I mean, this one bride had it all worked out. It was ordered. These butterflies came in a insulated package. And in it were triangular shaped boxes. Each one, you know, the butterfly was laying out flat. And what was the case that to the number of guests that, you know, could be handed out, that they were asked as the bride and groom walking out that back door or out to Robinson. Well, little did they take into consideration Oklahoma. I don't think anybody realizes, well, of course, Oklahoma never has wind. On that spring day, it was one of those Oklahoma averages as they opened them. And I didn't have one. I just witnessed this. As they opened them, it was a north straight wind that was going down Robinson. And as these butterflies were being released, I don't know if they got any butterflies in their pictures. And I don't think the butterflies got to stop until the Red River. The wind is powerful. We can see the effect. And the Holy Spirit is the wind, the spiritual wind, to move. The book of Acts is how to have the wind of the Holy Spirit in our sails and how we're able to allow that to be working in our spiritual lives. The attitude that makes way for the fullness of the Spirit is the same attitude that the disciples had before the Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost. And it's next Sunday when we celebrate the release of the power of the Holy Spirit. The apostles had an attitude that as the Holy Spirit had been promised, there was an expectancy. Jesus never said something and then it didn't happen. It was going to happen. But he said, stay here in Jerusalem 40 days from the time of the resurrection to the ascension. Jesus came and went. There were two men on the way, the road to Emmaus. That he appeared, he shared with them Old Testament scriptures fulfilling why he came as he came. And as soon as he broke bread and gave thanks to the Lord, even their hearts were burning, he disappeared. And they said, didn't our hearts burn as we were with him and he was sharing with us the word? 40 days, Jesus appearing and being gone. Increasing their belief, their anticipation, and they gathered in the upper room. How they were sharing with one another in the encounters of Jesus. And as the days flew by, they obeyed him. They remained in Jerusalem. But there was a belief, an expectancy, and that tension of having to wait. But they really believed. When they witnessed the ascension, that confirmed it. I mean, everything that he said had taken place literally. And then to see Jesus ascending in that luminous cloud, the Shekinah glory, God's presence, and then Jesus was gone. What would it have been like for them to be walking back? And it was probably, you know, it was just a Sabbath day walk, about 2/3 of a mile. Was there excitement? I mean, there was anticipation. I mean, there'd be an awe, there'd be surreal, there'd be a joy. And they went to the upper room. And it says, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying, those present, and it has the 11 disciples. And that was likely to be the same upper room that they shared the Last Supper. They shared the new commandment that Jesus gave, love one another even as I have loved you. It was in that upper room that he promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. And to think about that, this would be the location again, that the very promise would be fulfilled. In John 14, he said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And the room had to be large enough, 120 people, and we have listed, included, Jesus' own mother, Mary. Now, this is where I can put in mothers. Okay, you know, that with this, Jesus' own mother is there. And remember, Jesus, that how Mary pondered in her heart after Gabriel said that she was going to be the mother of the Savior. We have the time in which at the cross, Jesus thinking of his mother, mother, behold your son, son, behold your mother. And Mary went home with John from that time on. And this is the last time that Mary is mentioned, but she's never left out completely. But it's the last time that she's part of the disciples. There's Jesus' brothers, and there are the other women, and there's Mary Magdalene. And they all stayed together in one place. They believed that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon them. And they were going to receive power as promised. They expected an infilling of the Holy Spirit. They had no doubt about it. They waited with anticipation and with expectant belief. Each of us should believe and anticipate the filling and continual filling of the Holy Spirit. You know, there are times in which people say, well, Billy Graham had the Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. Sure he was. And there are others that have been filled with Spirit. But the thing is, Billy looked at each person equally. That everyone was given the same Spirit. and God would use them to the appointed amount of gifts and talents to be witnesses for him. And for we to ask, do we really expect for Christ to fill us today and each day to be his witnesses and to empower our lives? As they met in the upper room, they prayed, and it was a trusting prayer. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus and his brothers. And they all joined together constantly in prayer. They were persistent in prayer. It wasn't just one little sentence. They were persistently praying. They stuck to praying. They were committed to praying. They were continually devoting themselves to prayer. And whether it was in the upper room or if they went to the temple, continually they were praising God. They were persistent. Jesus had taught the parable of praying with persistence. In Luke 11, Jesus said, "How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" We must ask and persist in asking. And he prefaced it with the story of the man who went to the neighbor at night to borrow food because he had an unexpected guest, and only received after he continued to be knocking on the door. He said, "I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask," and literally means keep asking, "and it will be given to you. Seek," literally keep seeking, "and you will find." Knock, literally keep knocking, and the door will be open to you. So the apostles believed fully and fervently that they were to continue to pray persistently. There was unity. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Now, that's amazing in and of itself. 11 disciples who couldn't agree on anything. Two of them were arguing about they being, you know, at the highest level, ruling with Jesus. They all had their own agenda. But at this point, the 11 men who had argued and who had even refused to wash each other's feet, Jesus' brothers who were rejecting him as a Messiah, they're there now. The mother, the whole household of women, the rich, the poor, all types of people were of one mind. They were of one heart, of one mind. How could that be? They were all looking up to Jesus. They were all looking up to him at the same time. They were all looking up to him for the same thing. All in one accord. And the Lord was pleased to pour out his Spirit upon the believers who are living in unity. At the end of Acts 4, the church is described as being in one heart and mind as a result of much grace and great power that came upon them. That breeze, that power of the Holy Spirit refreshes the life of those who dwell in unity. Those who through faith do the very things that Christ intended. As Christ forgave, they forgive. As there were those that he taught to make restitution, they were making restitution. They sought the healing and affirmation of others. But along with that, as they were praying, they were dependent upon God's promise. They knew that by themselves, they could do nothing. Even as they chose, picked out the replacement for Judas Iscariot, as they prayed, and it has where they cast lots. Well, the thing is, those casting of lots, they were trusting that God was directing the outcome of who was going to be chosen. As believers, we have received the full benefit of Christ's body and blood, yet we've never had enough of Christ. We're always needing to be filled again and again. I know this is probably a shock to you. I like coffee. Do you? We usually go to the restaurant and both Karen and I order coffee. And if the waitress has the coffee canter and comes, "Can I warm your coffee?" I don't think I've ever said no. It's a rare thing if it's the case. Yes, even if it's just a little bit, top up. No matter how hot the cup, given time, and if it's neglected, it becomes cold. Some of us need a spiritual warm-up. Some of us are almost empty. We need the refreshing, filling, and refilling of the Holy Spirit. And that's the working of the Spirit. The Spirit comes. Can I warm you up? Can I refresh your spirit? And of course, the resounding answer should be yes. Believe that that's exactly what Christ wants to give. To have an expectancy of the Spirit entering in. We're to ask. Ask Him to fill our cup to overflowing. And isn't that not the promise? That our cups are overflowing as what is promised in Psalm 23? Ask for the wonderful winds of God. How much will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? That's the disciples of the upper room praying fervently, asking when He offers, may I fill your cup? Yes, and say yes to fill us up to overflowing with a burn, with a refreshing, flowing waters of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior, our Lord of promises. Amen.